I've always found our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah to be an intriguing reading, in part because it talks about Cyrus. And I doubt many people were laying awake last night wondering about Cyrus and who he was and why he was important. But in case you were, Cyrus was the king of the Persians. And the reason why I think that's interesting is because he wasn't Jewish and he wasn't from Israel. He didn't even know the God of Israel. And yet God used Cyrus as an instrument for the restoration of the people of Israel after the exile, after the people had been scattered and Jerusalem had been destroyed. Cyrus was the one who would be the instrument that would allow Jerusalem to be rebuilt and the people to return. And so what this shows us is that the Lord is the Lord of all peoples. All nations belong to him. As it says, he is the Lord and there is no other. And he is so powerful and his dominion is so complete that he can work in whatever way he sees fit to bring about his will. Even through people who don't even know who he is and have absolutely no idea what his plan is. And yet he can still use them and work with them as instruments. He's the one who gave Cyrus his kingdom, who built him up, who gave him victories in battle, because the Lord had a plan for him. I'm sure there were a lot of people of Israel at that time who had doubts that there would ever be a restoration. They had been in exile for 70 years. The people of Israel had been scattered. Their city of Jerusalem and the temple were in ruins. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were thinking, could Israel ever be restored? You know, it's been so long, and it just looks so improbable that God's promises would be fulfilled. And yet, in an instant, the Lord acted and fulfilled his promises to them. I think one of the things that we can learn from this as we reflect upon it is that no matter how dark things are and what struggles we might be facing, you know, whether it's health issues or friction within our families or whatever the situation is, we never need to be afraid about what's happening or what's going to happen in the future. There should be a deep sense of peace in our lives because of our trust in the Lord and our knowledge that he has a plan that's unfolding before our very eyes. And it's going to unfold as the Lord sees fit. And that doesn't mean that we're never going to experience sorrow. There is times where we're going to experience sorrow and we need to weep with those who weep. And there's going to be bad things that happen. But deep down, we should never waver from that knowledge of knowing that even in the midst of this darkness, God's plan is unfolding. And he uses those trials in order to deepen and to purify our hope. And that's one of the ways that the Lord brings good out of a bad situation, is through our purification. And so what the Lord wants to see in us is that in difficult situations, when things look terrible and they look daunting, and we might be tempted to give in to despair or hopelessness, we affirm our hope and we don't waver in our trust in the Lord's plan. That's what the Lord wants to see in us. And that's what he wants to bring about within us. And when that happens, he can use us as instruments where incredible things can happen. What we need to avoid in difficult situations first is division, turning against each other. You know, sometimes we want to blame someone. We want to scapegoat when things aren't going the way that we think that they should. And so it's like, well, it's this person's fault. And there's, you know, if we look at social media, there's people that foment this division. And that's not of God. And we also need to avoid negativity, you know, being cynical or complaining, because that's not of God either. He is the Lord and there is no other. And his plan is going to unfold. In the Acts of the Apostles, as we look at the early church, we hear about the very first persecution that began against the Christians. And when they knew that this persecution was coming, how did they react? It says they came together in prayer, and they prayed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that they would have the courage to face this persecution and to remain strong. And they rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer persecution for the name of Jesus Christ. And so they didn't get bitter. They didn't get cynical. They didn't turn on each other. They rejoiced in their persecution. And that's one of the things that other people saw in the Christians. They saw that even when they faced persecution, that there was something greater that was leading them to joy. There was something deeper that the world could not conquer within them. And that's one of the things that led a lot of the early Romans to convert to the Christian faith. As we look at the world around us, there's a lot of things we can get discouraged about. You know, this proposed constitutional amendment in Ohio that will remove parental notification laws and any restrictions on abortion, even basic safety standards. We oppose this amendment, but we do not oppose it out of fear or desperation. We oppose it out of love, because we know that this is going to be destructive to our society, and so we oppose it. But regardless of the outcome of the vote this November, we trust in God's plan. We're going to continue to proclaim life and try to bring people to a deeper knowledge of the truth and to a conversion of heart so that more and more people can recognize the sacredness of life. And we do that because it's the right thing to do. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. And we know that in the end, God is going to triumph. He's going to triumph in his own time and in his own way. And maybe it'll be in November that God's plan comes to fulfillment, or maybe some other time. But he will triumph. You know, some people worry about the church, you know, with the synod that's going on and the confusion that's coming about because of it. Or some people worry about the decline in attendance within the church. And it is hard to see that. It's difficult. But we have to realize that God can change that in an instant. There is going to be a new springtime within the church. Our churches are going to be filled and overflowing again. You know, the people are going to flock to the fullness of truth and to the Holy Eucharist and to the sacrament of confession. And maybe it'll happen tomorrow. Or maybe we won't even live to see it. Maybe it'll happen after we've left this world. But it is going to happen because God has his plan. Is our faith shaken by the challenges that we see around us? Or do we face that situation with hope? We know how the story ends. We can read that in the book of Revelation. You know, at the end of time, the church is going to be revealed in glory and is going to appear from heaven, radiant with the glory of God. And it's going to be filled with the saints. And every one of those saints is going to reflect virtues and the goodness of God in different ways. That's what's going to happen at the end. The church is going to triumph, and Jesus Christ is going to triumph. We know that that's going to happen, and so we never need to give in to despair or discouragement. Now, Psalm 13 is a very powerful prayer, and I encourage you to keep that in the back of your mind for times when we do face trials. It's a psalm of David when he was facing trials. And the psalm says, "How long, Lord, will you utterly forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I carry sorrow in my soul, grief in my heart day after day? But I trust in your mercy. Grant my heart joy in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me." He recognized in the midst of his trials that they would come to an end. He didn't say, "Will these trials ever come to an end?" He said, "How long, Lord? How long must I carry this sorrow?" But he ends with hope. He didn't waver in his hope. He trusted in the mercy of God, and he was rejoicing even in the midst of his trials because he knew God's plan was going to be fulfilled. And so that's a powerful prayer that we can pray when we are facing sorrow and trials. If God could bring about the restoration of the kingdom of Israel against all odds through a pagan king who didn't even know him, imagine the restoration that's going to come about through Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. It is going to be a restoration beyond anything that we can imagine, and it will come about. But the question for us is, have we allowed that hope to transform us and to shape our thoughts and to shape our hearts.